Hey everyone, this is Tommy Smards, and I'm so glad you're joining with us today. If you're part of the South Towns family or new, we would love to connect with you on our many social media platforms or our website. If you're in the neighborhood, stop by. We invite you to worship with us live. I hope today's message will encourage you and inspire you to draw closer to Jesus. Let's get to the message. I titled today's message, Walking in the Light, but Being Developed in the Secret. We're called to walk in the light with Jesus, but in order to walk in the light and have success and move forward in all God wants us to do, we got to be developed in the secret. Okay? You're going to learn more about that, but I'm going to preface something right now and tell you. I'm going to say a couple words you may not like to hear this morning. Okay? Words such as sin. That's a word I'm going to say. Gal freaked out on me. Pastor said sin. I'm going to say evil. I'm going to say maybe immoral. I may say some of those words today. I just want to set it up, just let you know. No one's going to get, feel guilty. No one's going to get beat by the scripture. But we're going to recognize some things that John wrote to deal with some false teachings and some mindsets that believers began to take on that compromised their walk. And I don't want us to fall into that. I want us to, because right now, is the time for the believer to rise up. Right now is the time for the church and the Christian to rise up and live their faith out loud, not being ashamed, and live it according to what the Word says, not according to what someone is telling us what the Word says, what the Word is saying and what it's speaking to us. Amen? And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about how we're to walk in the light, but in order to have the strength and the ability, we're going to be developed in the secret. And so if you have your Bibles, I would ask you to open them to the book of 1 John, chapter 1, verse 5. I'm going to read you 5 quick verses today. They're right on the screen with us this morning. And I'm going to read from the Word and get right into this. The Bible says this in the book of 1 John. 1 John, chapter 1, God is light. It says, "This then is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, and yet we walk in darkness, we are liars, and we don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess, though, our sins, God is faithful. He is faithful, and he's just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And in verse 10, it says, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Father, thank you for this word. Lord, you have preset this service from the foundation of time. Lord, you have a message to speak. You have lives to heal and restore and to rejuvenate and revive. Father, have your way today as we study your word. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So let's deal with two things today. Let's deal with walking in the light. Walking in the light. The Bible said right there that God is, what the Bible said is that God is not like light. It said he is light. And there's no darkness in him. We need to understand that. In other words, what the word is saying, what I just read to you, is that because God is light, he's righteous. He's holy. He's pure. He's true. This is who the God you and I serve. That's who he is. We need to understand that. We need to understand that him being light, he's consuming. He's reliable. He's there for us 24/7. And in him, there is no evil. Because darkness represents evil and sin. And I come to tell you today that there is no evil nor sin in God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. We need to understand that. Just because we may have hit a bad time in life, we can say, well, God doesn't love me. God's not good. No, 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 no. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. But God is light. God is pure. God is holy. God is righteous. And what God wants us to do is he wants us to walk in fellowship with him in that type of lifestyle, as we strive to live that type of lifestyle. He doesn't want us to walk in darkness. Actually, if I turned off, and I won't do it for, you know, because we didn't set it up, but if I turn off all the lights and we blacked out all the windows completely, it would be pitch black in here. And if I took a lighter and just had one little lighter, you know, whatever you do, whatever you call that, with the lighter, if it was a Zippo, I'd do a couple things and pop it open, it'd be there. Flame going up. All of a sudden, from the lighter, there would be a light illuminating. That's what God does in darkness. And so if there's darkness in us, or darkness surrounding us, or darkness trying to attach itself, when I say darkness, I'm saying evil. I'm saying those things that are opposite of who God is, trying to attach itself to us to live a lifestyle that God has not called us to live. When the light comes, it illuminates and it shows the darkness. And if we allow it, it begins to deal with it. That's why we got to be developed. So we know what's happening. But understand that God is light. And being light, it means that the Spirit will expose whatever's good or bad. The Spirit of God brings to revelation what's going on, what's happening in us and around us. This John's writing this to these churches around Ephesus, and because there's a group of people who are like, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, and yet when they were looked at, they're like, oh, there's nothing about that says Jesus at all. Their lifestyle, what they say, how they talk, how they act. And John wanted to deal with that because he didn't want them, and I believe it's in the word for us today, because God doesn't want us to be the same way and to be deceived and pulled aside and pulled back from where God wants us to go. And so we're called this morning and every morning to walk in fellowship with him. In other words, we're called to connect with God and stand on his standards and his attributes of who he is and live on them and by them. I said earlier this morning, our media director wanted to change above our drinking fountain because we had something before COVID put up, and then COVID hit, and you know how everything got. And I'm like, yes, absolutely change it. Do whatever you feel will do great for now. And right above, I encourage you to walk by there today and take a look at it. The whole bulletin board is about the promises that are in the scripture for you and I. That we're to connect with God and stand in those promises from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And they're there. Read them. They're amazing. I read them last night. I know she's watching. Sandy did a great job this weekend with those. And thank you for putting them up, because they're there for us. And so when we walk in fellowship, we're not rejecting the standard of God. We're not rejecting who God is. We're not rejecting the Holy Spirit. We're not rejecting the power and the blood of God. We're not rejecting Christ as the Son of God who died on the cross. No, we're embracing it when we're standing on who he is and the truth of who he is. And we strive to live as holy and righteous as possible. We strive to be all that we can be in God as God moves through us. We want to walk in the light. Church, are you tired of walking in darkness? No. Are you tired of the enemy just pulling you back every time you feel like you made one or two steps forward? See, we're going to stomp on the enemy a little bit here. Okay? Can we do that this morning? Can we stomp on him? I'll tell you what, man, it's been a battle, but you know what? The devil won't get victory. He will not get victory. See, because of who Christ is in me, I am victorious. See, we get I used to get so angry and twisted in my own thinking and the way it was, because I wasn't walking, you know, in every victory that I thought I should be having. And then all of a sudden God says, no matter what you see here in this earthly realm, you still have victory in the eternal. There's your ultimate victory. Now I'll take you from victory to victory in the earth, and you'll see me move and do things. But son, you always have victory. You always will be an overcomer. You always will, because my son died for you. And so we're called to fellowship with him. And then we're called to live by faith as examples of Jesus. Live by faith as examples of Jesus. Do I have any examples of Jesus in the house this morning? Do I have any examples of Jesus in the house? What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean, like when you leave here and you're with your other friends that aren't church people, do they know you love Jesus? Do they hear Jesus in your speech? Do they hear do my friends that don't know Jesus, when they're around me, do they know that I love Jesus? Do they know, beyond me being a pastor, do they see Jesus mirrored off of me? Because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to mirror him. And he wants us to walk in the light. He wants us to walk in fellowship. He wants us to walk along with him, letting him lead and guide us. And what's amazing is that we must walk in the truth of who Jesus is and not the false teachings or the false things that we're reading or being told about who Jesus is. I know it's a buzz term and everybody's using it. Let's stop living off the fake news about Jesus and live on the real truth of who he is. See, there's this guy, Peter. Now, Peter was a piece of work from what I read and study about Peter and the disciples. He was a piece of work. Now, Peter, if he was living today, Peter's first tattoo would have been a total neck tat right across the front. Oh, he'd been all pierced out probably, leather chains, engineer boots. Peter would have been like that guy that is just, Peter. And Jesus is with Peter. Some of you are like, oh my gosh. Yeah, that would have been Peter. Jesus goes, hey, Peter, I have a question for you. He says, who do you say I am? And Peter's like, I could see it, you know. I always try to imagine me being there. I could just see Peter, really, Jesus? Come on, man. He goes, listen. He goes, you're the Christ. You are the Son of God. Jesus goes, oh, no one told him that. He got that through a revelation knowledge from God. And see, what I love about that is that when you and I walk in the truth, when you and I are connected with the Father, there is knowledge that is given to us. It's shown to us as we're reading the Word. Because as you read the truth, the truth is being revealed, and as we're taking the truth in, it becomes a part of who we are. As I walk in the truth and I connect with the truth, it becomes who I am. Right? And so John writes this passage of Scripture because there are people who are claiming to be believers, and yet he's like, really? Because there is zero representation that I can really see that tells me. Well, just you guys know that I play for the Buffalo Bills? Y'all didn't know that, did you? Just because I'm here now, they're going to fly me out later. Got a big game today. I'm going to take Russell, drag him around the field a little bit. Let him know who's who. Now, I can tell you that I'm a player. But the reality is you don't see it. You just see this person up here preaching the word. And see, there's these people, well, we're believers. And so John's like, listen, man, let me deal with some claims here that need to be dealt with. And he needs to confront them. And he has to confront them because if they don't confront them, then they're going to have the inability to walk in the light of who God is and that relationship that God wants with them, believing these false claims about what they can and can't do. And so here's what he's talking about. The first claim he talks about is simply this, that there are believers claiming to be Christians, and yet they accept the ability to live in sin and in morality. If you don't believe me, look at verse 6. Verse 6 says this of 1 John. It says that It says this. If I can get there. It says that if we say that we have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie. See, they're saying that, hey, we have fellowship with God. We love God. We serve God. And yet they're walking in darkness. There's not a representation, an example of God moving through them. You ever meet someone like that? You know, you know what I mean? You know, everything's Jesus. Hey, brother, how you doing? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm doing awesome. God's on the throne. He's moving, you know. And you're going, awesome. This guy's on fire for God. And then he walks out in the parking lot, and it's like, who are you? See, they're claiming to be Christians and believers, and yet they're accepting and living a completely opposite way. And so I think for us today, if that's us, let me encourage you where you're at. I'm going to use a church term today. Can I use a church term? It's a big word. I learned this in college. It's a big one. It's like really big. Sanctification. That right there is a word that you hear maybe once every 2 years from this mouth. Because I'm going to give you what it really means. It means to be made whole. It means to be cleansed. It means to be put back together. It means to be not the old way, but to be the new person. Okay? And so what we need to realize is that, like, they, if there's this claim that we're one thing and yet we're not that, it's time to allow God to bring the purification into our lives, the spiritual purification. Let it come from the top of our head to the soles of our feet to make us into the people that he wants us to be. See, it's time that we allow God to refine us. It's time to allow God to develop us and to mature us and to prepare us for the purpose that he has in our lives. John sees it, and he's like, man, we got to get this fixed. We got to get this fixed. Fellow believers, we got to get this fixed. We got to be light out there. There's a lot of stuff going on out there. You know that? I mean, there's a lot of stuff. But Jesus needs to be out there. Now, he recognizes this, and he talks, and he writes this letter, and we need that continuing washing and that cleansing power of the blood of Jesus in our lives. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I know, and sometimes in this new day and age, we get so worried about saying things like the blood of Jesus and sanctification and justification, because we don't want to offend somebody with these big weird words. You know what? The reality is the Bible says nothing will wash us or wash our sins clean except for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We're not making it up. It's in the Word. We see it. We know what Jesus did on the cross. So let's talk about it. So if we're claiming to be believers, but we're living in there's things in our lives that are not according to what God wants in there, then let's let the blood of Jesus wash over us and cleanse us, because we got a job to do in the kingdom. Right? Amen? And so, you know, what's awesome about God, he saw this from the beginning of time. Leviticus chapter 4, the Day of Atonement. This is where they would take animals and sacrifice them, and because of the shedding of the blood of the animal, it would cover the sins of the nation. But God's like, you know what? I got a better plan than that. And that better plan was Jesus. And he says, so what I'll do is, instead of you sacrificing animals once a year, I'm going to send Jesus to die one time and one time only. And that when he dies and the blood is shed, that we don't have to go back and have sacrifice after sacrifice. I don't have to keep sending my son back to earth. But because he do it one time, it's a done deal. And then we can walk boldly into the throne room and say, God, forgive me. That I'm claiming to be a believer, I'm claiming to be a Christian, but I'm struggling. Man, I'm struggling with this, and I'm struggling with that. And because of this struggle, it's kind of pulled me off track. But God, you're a God that forgives. So God, forgive me. I messed up, God. But I know that there's power in the blood, and I know you can heal and restore me. So God, forgive me, wash me clean, set me anew today. Because I got a job to do for you, Jesus. Right? And so he talks about that with them. Do you know what the Bible says about the blood of Jesus? The Bible says this: in him, we have redemption through his blood. We have forgiveness of sin in accordance to his grace, Ephesians 1:7. Romans 5:9 says, we have been justified by his blood, and we shall be saved from the wrath of God. Ooh, that's some powerful stuff. And John's like, listen, this is for everybody. We need to know that because we want to walk with him. John talks about in verse 8 how people are denying that there's even any sin in them. You ever meet someone like that? I've never sinned before. Sin is so below me. It's not even funny. So below me. I don't sin. We all sin because we're not perfect. I said at the first service, if you don't think you sin or you've never sinned, next Friday, 4 o'clock, drive your car to Niagara Falls Boulevard. Get on the boulevard trying to go towards the Boulevard Mall. And then when you get to that certain left turn that you need to make, find one without a red light. Right? We all do. Let's not deny it, though. Let's realize that it may be and is an offense to God. And let's let God make it right. Because he wants us to walk in that light. And then claim 3, he talked about how they didn't even ask for forgiveness or repentance. Once we know, we got to ask. Right? We got to say, Lord, man, I messed up. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean with the power of the blood. Set me back on track the way I need to be. See, because the reality is Romans tells us that we've all sinned, that we've all fallen short of the glory of God. That if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, that and believe with our heart that he'll forgive us and that God raised him from the dead and we'll be saved. That's what the word says. I'm not making this up. It's right here. And so John's like, man, there's an issue with this group of people. They're calling themselves the church and believers. There's false teaching that's settled in. So let me fix these claims because I want you to walk in the light of God. I want you to walk in fellowship with God, with koinonia with God. And what separates that and what causes issues with that is what I just talked about. But you know what helps, though, when we're living in the world? You know what helps us not fall prey to the lies of the enemy, to the schemes of the devil? When we're developed in the secret place, when we become spiritually strong. Now, when I first came to know Jesus and accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, I struggled. Sundays were great. Monday through Saturday, man, some of the decisions and choices I made were not like godly at all. I'm being honest. But what I found, the more time I spent in the secret place, being developed by God, being remolded and shaped by God, when I stepped into the light of the world, or not, I won't call it the world light, but when I stepped into the world and with the light of God, it became much easier. It was totally different. It was amazing. How many of you remember the photo, Matt? Y'all remember? Okay, if you're probably like 30 years and younger, you have no idea what a photo mat is. So let me tell you what the greatest invention ever was known to mankind. Every parking lot had one. It was a little booth that one person barely fit in, like sitting in a chair only. And it was a drive-up window. And you drove up and you handed them an envelope. And in the envelope was this stuff called film. Now, film was something you put into a camera, okay? And you would take pictures, and then you would drop it off and pray within 3 weeks it would come back. But better yet, when it came back, you prayed that the 48 pictures you took, 5 of them were good, okay? Unlike our phones and stuff today where we can pull it out and be like, that was 900 selfies in a second, you know what I mean? And I can go through and like, the light's just not right there, that sweat, oh, let me, unlike that, no. the film actually went to a processing lab, to a place where it was developed. And there were three things. There was a developing fluid, there was the stop bath chemicals, and there was the fixer. So they would take the film and they would put it into this, go into a dark room and put the film in these different stages. And through the stages of each one, the film would be developed. You see where I'm going with this? Is it no different than God? Now, we're not going to go to the photo mat because they don't exist anymore. Although, because retro stuff is coming back, we might want to start a joint venture here at church. Feed the hungry overseas, right? You know what I mean? Bring back the photo mat. But what God's calling us to do is this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Now, this is about prayer, but listen to what it says, because this is so important. It says, when you pray, enter your closet. That's your secret place. It's away from everybody else. And when you have shut the door behind you, I added behind you, that's not in the word, so pray to your Father who is in the what?
Secret.
He's in the secret. And your Father who sees in the secret will reward you in the open. Look at what Psalm 91 says. Psalm 91 says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We need a secret place, church. We all need a secret place. There is nothing wrong. I love corporate worship. I love being here with you. I love sharing the word. I love sitting there last week when Pastor Doug came and presented a word, which was amazing. If you didn't get a chance to watch it, go back and watch it. I loved being corporately together, worshiping, getting the word. But let me tell you something. There's things that don't happen here that only happen in the secret. Think about that. God moves here. God heals here. God, salvation comes. But there's something personally about the secret place. And God's calling us to a secret place. He wants you and I to discover and dwell in the secret place. There's great value there. The secret place just isn't a place that we just go to, but it's what happens when we go there. There's intimacy. 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 When I go to the secret place, I'm saying, God, look into me. See inside me. Shrek talks about life being like a giant onion, right? And you got to peel each layer back. In the secret place is where we peel all the layers back that in the public we don't peel back because we may be ashamed or we don't want to know someone, we don't want someone to know our business or we're not really sure yet. But in the secret place, God's saying, peel every layer back so I can look into the heart. So I can see in the depths of who you are and begin to do my work. But what I love about being in the secret place, as we pull ourselves and make ourselves vulnerable for God, God begins to then show us a revelation of who He is in a greater dimension that we already know. I love that. Where's your secret place? Because you know it's different in those types of environments, right? Now, when I was growing up, we had this thing we're like called a telephone on the wall in our kitchen. It was like, was it yellow or almond? My parents had. It was that crazy late 70s, early model, okay? We did go from the turn to the push button, but we didn't have a small cord. We had like that 25 footer that like you can stretch from the kitchen, like to the bathroom, through two bedrooms, right? You know what I mean? And I grew up in the house that I grew up, we had an upstairs. The upstairs was just one giant room. Our house was shaped like a letter H if you looked at it from a plane. And the stairway coming down on the backside was kind of in the living room, and there was a closet there. And Pastor Shirley and Bishop Tom, they'd hang their coats there, and we had like a little thing for their shoes and that. But when I would call my amazing wife, I would take that phone, and I'd untangle it, because you know how they get all tangled up and knotted. And I'd pull it, and I'd open up the closet door, and I'd go behind the coats, behind the shoes, behind the trunk, all the way to the back of the closet. Why? Because it was private. Because it was just her and I. It was no one else. That's it. Do you see the value in that? I didn't want my brother here in my conversation. I didn't want people walking in, talking to my parents here in my conversation. I didn't want them to hear the whole, you know, no, baby, you hang out first. I love you. No, you. I love you till you hang out. Oh, I can hear you breathing. Girl. We laugh about it. We've all done it, most of us. But God wants us to do that with Him in the secret place. He wants us to tell Him how much we love Him, how much He means to us. That's what He's looking for. But what I love about in the secret place, in that place of intimacy, all of a sudden we get this word from the Hebrew yada, which means knowledge. All of a sudden we get a knowledge of who He is and what He wants from us. We get a whole better inside view of who God is in the secret place. I have two secret places. I'll tell you where they are, because then I call them a secret place, but my family knows one of them is my den or my office at home. I have a study at home. I can close my door. I can read my word. I can worship. I can pray. That's a great place to do that. But my favorite secret place is like this 20-foot circle right here. When none of you are here. I love that you're here. I love being with you. But can I tell you a secret? I also love when you're not here and I'm alone with God in the morning. Because it's here I'm being developed. It's here where I'm getting everything needed to walk in the light out there. That I don't become like those other churches and those people where I take my proclamation of being a believer and I don't live it out completely. Without my private time, without my secret place, I wouldn't be strong enough to survive out there. It is. Without the secret place, I'm not strong enough to survive. It's the truth. That's how important a secret place is. What do you do in the secret place, Pastor? Well, sometimes I come and I lead worship with this big band of one, and it's awesome, and I sing out loud as I can, and to God it sounds beautiful. In my secret place, I cry. In my secret place, I lay here on the platform and laugh. In my secret place, I study scripture. Sometimes in my secret place, I just lay on the ground and stare at the ceiling, waiting for God to say something, waiting for God to move. In my secret place, I pray for people. In my secret place, I thank God for everything that I have. I thank God for all that He's done already in my life, and I thank God for what He's going to do in the future. In my secret place, I actually touch the pews where you're sitting, and I pray for you. See, I grew up hand of contact, you know, contact, touch, something to touch, something to, Lord, this pew is empty, but it's filled. Oh, this pew is where Mr. Dallaire sits. God bless him as he comes, let your word touch. Oh, Lord, this is done in the secret. Without the secret, I wouldn't survive. And God's saying, I want you to walk into light. So look at what's happening, but then get to the secret place so I can help you. What happens in the secret place? In the secret place, God draws near to me. James says it. If I draw near to God, God draws near to me. What I found personally about a secret place is when I make it an effort to go somewhere, to get up and leave the comfort of certain things, it's so much different than if it's just let me just sit right here real quick. And there's something about it. You can call it sacrifice. You can call whatever. Especially in Buffalo. Now listen, don't buy this weather. Because this isn't staying. Just so you know that. It's November 8th. This is not normal. This is not staying. Actually, I'm texting my friends who live in other parts of the country. I'm like, see, God's smiling on Western New York. There's no snow here. Are you kidding me? You should move to Buffalo. They're like, yeah, whatever. Call me in January. Take a picture of your backyard in January. But there's something about it in January when it's snowing out and I have to leave my house. My wife will contest, right? She's going to work. I'm like, I'm going to the church early in the morning. There's something about it. You got to get dressed. You got to snow blow. Oh, you got to snow blow. And it's snowing and it's cold. And then you come into the sanctuary and the sanctuary's cold. There's something about that little bit of personal sacrifice that I think is so key. Because I could have just made a pot of coffee, went up to my study, and just sat there. But I find for me, when there's some sacrifice on my end, when there's some responsibility on my end to take the extra steps, it's so different. And maybe that's a word for someone today. That even in our secret place, in our comfort, we got to get out of our comfort zones, and even in our secret places. And you can switch your secret place up. I have a friend whose secret place is Chestnut Ridge. Chestnut Ridge is big, but that's their secret place. They'll sit under a tree. You decide and you figure out where God wants to be. Where God wants to meet with you, and where you want to meet with Him. But when you get there, realize as you draw near to God, God will draw near to you. And it's there that we're developed. It's there that God does something supernatural. And I love it because it's there. What I read to you in 1 John becomes revealed. If we're living the way we should, if we need to change something. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah says this in chapter 6, 5. Woe is me! I am undone. I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King. He's standing in the presence of God, and all of a sudden, everything about him is revealed. And his first words were like, whoa, I'm undone. In other words, what he was saying in layman's terms, I got issues. I got some situations going on that need to be rectified. And God knows that. And the Bible says that God touches his lips and purifies them. In the secret place, when we realize there may be some undone things in our lives, it's there God touches us, heals and restores and revives us. That we don't have to walk around beat up. Well, I'll never be used for God because of this. Or God doesn't love me because of the... No, let God get a hold of us today. Let him get a hold of us today. It's in his presence where that fruit of the Spirit takes root and begins to grow. It's in that secret place. It's where we start to really live our lives from an eternal perspective. And not just an earthly perspective. Because prior to Jesus, I was really earthly. I was all about stuff. I was all about, I had no eternal perspective on anything. I had no perspective on God itself, on God himself. But when I became a believer, and the more I spend time with him, my perspective of everything being about me gets pushed to the side. And the eternal perspective of life. And I actually do this. I walk through stores. This is hard to believe I go to a store, right, and want to talk to people, but I do. But I'm like, Lord, do they know you? Lord, do they know? Lord, are you their Lord and Savior? God, are you? I pray for them. It's an eternal perspective of life. Not just a self perspective. And so, you know, it's that secret place that really makes a difference. We're called to walk and live in the light, but we're developed in the secret. What do you take to the secret place, Pastor? I take my Bible. I have a journal that I take. I take my Bluetooth speaker. And I take my phone. my phone to play my worship music off my Bluetooth speaker at a high volume while I'm leading worship. But then I have my Bible just to read scripture. Then I have my journal to write prayers or to write things that I'm sensing God is saying. Because my wife can attest to this, I will forget. I will forget. We can have a conversation. And an hour later, she's like, I just told you that. I'm like, oh, yes, you did, honey. I will forget. So I write it. People who are friends at this year, they're like, oh, yeah, that's him. I write it down. Because God's going to speak something in that secret that I'm going to need to go back to. I read in my journal last week. I'm going to share this with you because you're part of this family. 3.5 years ago, I wrote in my journal. I says, people can go to church anywhere. And they can get praise and worship. They can get the preached word. They can get involved in a small group. They can go on missions. And they can have fellowship with other believers in the body. But the churches that make an internal or make an impact are those who do it above average. Think about that. We don't take for granted what we have. I don't decide what I'm going to preach on the way in on a Sunday. But I study all week, and I get before God to present it. The worship team practices. Our Sunday school teachers are preparing. Our small group, because we want to have the biggest eternal impact that we can have on people. We want to be the best that we can be. But we only can become like that when we spend time in the secret, and God molds us and shapes us. And he does what he needs to do in us. Right? And so we're called to walk in the light, and we're called to be developed in the secret. Where are you today with it all? Where are you? The second service, I keep staying camped in the secret place. Don't talk yourself out of it. I don't have time. I've had that conversation with God. Do you know how much time I waste during the day? I have time. But I probably have given God every excuse on why not to meet him in the secret place. Everyone. Everyone. God wants to meet with you more than here. God wants to connect with you on a personal level, not just in a corporate setting. God wants to meet with you one-on-one. He wants to pour into you. And while he pours into you, he wants to remove those things that need to be removed. He wants to heal those things that are broken. He wants to reverse the words of death and negativity that were spoken over you. And he wants to speak his words into you, how he sees you. In the secret. I love what it said in Matthew 6:6. It says, what we do in the secret, God will reward in the open. I love that. So everything that's happening in the secret, when God feels it's time, it's released. Things are released in the open. Things are released. What a word that is, right? That is not kept secret. And no one knows about it. But it's rewarded in the open. When you read Romans chapter 8, it talks about no condemnation. And I think I have it here real quick. I'm going to close this up. Phil, you can come up. It says, life in the Spirit, that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. It's important for us to walk by the Spirit, walk in the light of God. God's looking for us to dwell in him. Are we dwelling in him this day? Are we dwelling in Christ? Not visiting, but dwelling. Dwell means to live. I dwell in my house. I dwell in Christ. I don't dwell here at the church. Although sometimes I feel like I do, but I don't. God is saying, dwell in me. Live in me. Live in me. Don't visit. As a visitor, you don't have all the benefits as someone who lives there. Right? Now listen, I love my mother. Let me give you an example in the flesh. I love my mother. I love her to death. She's coming over today. She doesn't dwell in my house. So, there's a difference because we're going to watch what Pastor wants to watch. Why? Because I dwell there. Of course, she wants to watch what I want to watch too, but you know what I mean. There's a difference. When I go to my friend's house, when I stop at Pastor Rob's house and the stumber to bug him, I just don't have the free rein to go through his house and his cupboards and his refrigerator and, you know, lay on his couch and, you know, put the air conditioning so it's blowing on me. And, you know, I don't have that. Why? Because it's not my house. I don't dwell there. Yet his kids, Chloe and Ben, they can, you know, do that because that's their home. They dwell there. There's benefits to dwelling over visiting. There's benefits. And God is saying, dwell in me. All that you desire, all that you need, all that you're lacking is found in me. Dwell in me. Dwell in me. Let me develop you. Let me wash over you. Let me remake. Let me do what is needed, because when you leave the secret, you'll have success in the open. You'll have the ability to be strong and walk in the light. That's what we're called to do. Well, stand to our feet, because I'm going to ask you this one question this morning. You do not have to raise your hand, but do you struggle with that? Do you struggle with what John wrote about? I'm a believer, but there's a lot of things that don't line up, and people would say, you're a believer? Really? Or do you struggle with a secret place? Don't feel condemnation. Don't get angry. Don't beat yourself up. Today is a new day. Thank God. What I love about God is he is a God of forgiveness. Now we know. Some things might have been exposed to us today. Now we know. It's okay. Let's deal with it. Let's ask God to forgive us. Because the word says if we confess, right, he forgives. Then let's ask God to strengthen us. Then let's ask God to show me how to get to that secret place where it becomes a part of my everyday life. Right? So, today we walk out with our heads up. Today we walk up with this. You know what? I'm a new creation. Today God did something in me. Because there was a revelation brought this morning that I wasn't walking fully in the light. I was pretending on some areas. But God, you're going to fix them today. And I want to challenge you to get a secret place. I want to challenge you to get a secret place. And spend time there on a daily basis. And spend time that fits your schedule. Because mine might be early in the morning or late at night doesn't mean that that's the time you have to do it. Whatever fits your schedule, that's when you find your secret place. And then spend time there. I challenge you 5 minutes a day. Start there. Don't go in like I used to go in. Lord, I'm here for 3 hours. And about 30 seconds into it, I'm like, it's not even a minute yet. Trust me, I've... reading the word, I'm going to read 35 pages a day. No, you're not. No, I'm not. Because I just want quality. I want quality. Quantity is one thing, but I want quality of what's going on. And 5 minutes a day. 5 minutes a day. Start there. Let me share a testimony before I pray. When I first started really embracing my early morning quiet time, you know, I'm like an hour. I get through that hour, and sometimes it was like forever, it felt. Now, it's like, an hour? It's been an hour already? I have a friend who's doing early morning prayer. They started early morning prayer like 6 or 7 in the morning at their church. And they're like, 2 hours go by, and it's like we were here for 5 minutes. Because they're just connecting with what God's doing. Let's find that secret place. Lives are changed there. Amen? So, Father, right now in Jesus' name, whether those who are sitting with us live or those who are in their homes watching through live stream, Father, I pray that we receive the word, even that John wrote when he talked about as believers, we're to reject the immorality and the sin. We're to realize that they can't blend and can't coexist because God is light and the enemy is darkness. And there is no darkness in God. And so, Father, I pray right now that the light of you would come into us and expel the darkness this day as we repent and we say we're sorry. Father, make us whole again from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. Father, I pray for those who struggle with certain things, that no matter how hard they try, they just can't stop. It just keeps coming back. The voices keep coming. Father, in Jesus' name, we break that chain that has attached itself in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that the ears would be blocked from the enticement of the enemy. That, Father, today true freedom is given to your children. Father, I pray for those who search for a secret place. Lord, I pray that they understand the importance of being with you alone. The importance of it, that in that dark room, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the developer, is the fixer, is the stop path. And just as in the natural, the film was being developed, you're developing us by the moving of your Spirit in that secret place, in that quiet place. Because we're drawing near to you, God. Father, I pray that we have the strength and the ability to do that. And Lord, I thank you that as we move forward, we will be strong. We will be more than conquerors in the kingdom of God. We will be light in the darkness around us. Not because of who we are, because of you in us, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Now, that wasn't too hard to hear those words today, was it? Sin, that wasn't too hard. We got through that all right. But it's so important because there's so much for us in the secret, so much is with Jesus. And so we're going to close the service out. Once again, thanks for being here. Real quick, November 18th, Wednesday night, we're going to do a night of prayer and worship. We're going to come and pray and intercede and worship. Wednesday, 7 p.m. Mark your calendars. Love to have you be here for that. And then next Sunday, Sunday school comes back. Make sure you pre-register for Sunday school. We're the first and third Sundays. Pre-register once you come in. There's some things you got to fill out and sign. And then your kids come in to hear, worship with us, and then they are dismissed before the word. And so let's pray for our offering. Father, what an opportunity to give from the substance that you've given us, that you've blessed us with. Father, this is just as important as the worship, just as important as the word. And the ministry is our ability to give back and to bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse. Father, I declare this day a multiplication and a blessing over it. Father, that not only are we reaching Lakeview and the surrounding areas of Buffalo and the Western New York region, but God, we're reaching internationally. So Father, bless this offering this day. Bless this offering this day as we come humbly before you, joyfully, ready and excited to give, holding nothing back. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for being here. If you need prayer, I'll be in the front to pray with you after service. Have a wonderful week.